Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, the top rope collapses as the demon, not the fiend, wrestles Roman Reigns at Extreme Rules.
A major return at last night's Extreme Rules pay-per-view as well.
Seth Rollins was ready to strangle Vince McMahon after this WWE match.
And a huge WWE Championship match has been announced for tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
I need some sleep. This is the news.
We're going to kick things off by talking about the finish to the main event of Extreme Rules 2021, which was the top rope collapsing. By design, it wasn't just some crap, you know, ring
work.
Was
it the Fiend?
Well, who knows? Fiend magic is in the air every single time. But yeah, it was a pretty good walk and brawl between Roman Reigns and Finn Balor. I particularly appreciated Roman Reigns putting a little mask on to go in the crowd as he was walking around the arena, beating Finn Balor up. It got to the point where the Usos ran in. There was all kinds of swarming on Finn Balor. But Balor got the better of them. He put Jay through a table. Then he got speared through the barricade himself by Roman Reigns, which got a massive pop. And then something weird happened. The heartbeat, the music, the lights started playing up. The music seemed to will the demon back to life. It was kind of, he like convulsed a little bit, then sat up and then started kicking ass. He got back in the ring. Roman Reigns is at his mercy. He's here. Finn Balor, I keep calling him the Fiend in my head by accident for some reason. Top rope. Suddenly, the top rope just collapses. Finn Balor falls on his effing arse, in the words of Davey Boy Smith. And in comes Roman Reigns with the spear. 1, 2, 3. That's your finish. The top rope collapsing. Made a loud noise. I suspect you're going to be a little bit kinder to this than me, so I'll open it up to the positive take. If you have one.
I will say this. Fair play to Finn Balor for taking that bump. That was a rough up. It's just going to collapse and you're going to go straight down. And he was selling the leg afterwards, and I didn't know whether, to be honest, if that was in, you know, in storyline or genuinely, you know, an actual injury. We'll obviously update you as and when we get news on that. Look, it was bit of a bollocks ending. I looked on social media afterwards. Look, it's one of those things where, as always, Phil and I are doing the stream. We enjoy the show maybe slightly more than people who are just taking it in as fans on their own. But even we were sat there going, we're not too sure about that. And I really didn't see it much as protecting the demon.
Yeah, my kind of take on it is if you have a match where you feel no one can lose, right, which is kind of an argument that's going around at the moment, that Reigns couldn't drop the Universal title, which I agree with, and the demon couldn't lose, why book it in the first place, right? Why book yourself into that position? Why not just have Big E versus Bobby Lashley on the show instead? That would have been a perfectly fine main event. Or Bianca versus... who on earth was Bianca Belair facing? Becky Lynch, of course. How can you forget Becky Lynch? For me, this is like they've booked the deliberate shockmaster here. They've booked Dean Ambrose losing to an exploding TV again. And look,
Hell in a Cell 2019, which we'll get to. I completely understand. I mean, Phil was desperately scrambling around to sort of protect the demon and not have Roman lose. And he had Brock coming down and murdering everyone. In the end, no Brock Lesnar appearance. And I sat there afterwards talking with Phil and saying, like, you know, some people in the comments are saying maybe it was Paul Heyman cutting the ropes. Maybe it was the Fiend. Maybe it was an act of God.
The Fiend.
And the thing is, we all know what's going to happen. We're going to sit here and go, ooh, what was it? And then SmackDown's going to happen on Friday, and they're just going to go, cool, Brock Lesnar, a crown jewel.
Yeah, so the announcers had moved on to Brock Lesnar immediately straight away, and that's another problem with this match, is that you knew the Demon wasn't winning.
Nah.
They've already booked the Brock Lesnar match for Roman Reigns, and you know that's like a money match for WWE. I don't know, you kind of keep the, it's wise to keep the booking in WWE at arm's length, but we're going to criticize it when we think it's bad. We're not going to dress it up and say, hey, this was, maybe this was great and all this stuff. It's like, nah, this wasn't good. History is on our side with this stuff. Look what happened to Dean Ambrose and his character and how he became a rodeo clown after he jobbed to singing ghosts and blowing up TVs. It's just, historically, this hasn't worked out well for them. And I hope it works out well for Finn Balor, but I'm dubious.
Controversial take following the second story in the news today. Sasha Banks returned on last night's Extreme Rules pay-per-view to ruin the ending of the SmackDown Women's Championship match. It looked like maybe Bianca Belair was about to regain that title from Becky Lynch. Brilliant back and forth battle between the two of them. Bianca Belair doing feats of strength that just astonish me every single time. In the end, she finally got Becky Lynch up for the KOD when in slides Sasha Banks, who's been missing. She was, of course, meant to face Bianca Belair for the title at SummerSlam. She slides in, she attacks both women. She initially lays out Bianca Belair, and then Becky Lynch does a whole, we okay, thumbs up, all right, and then she double legs her and beats her up as well, and obviously sets her sights on the title. Now, I saw a lot of people understandably getting annoyed about this, but the fact this match went to a DQ, but I'm going to repeat the take I probably shouldn't have given at SummerSlam again. I actually want to see where they go with this. You know, I know a lot of people said, oh, we shouldn't have jobbed out Bianca Belair in 26 seconds, but then we wouldn't have got this mint match at Extreme Rules, which again is undermined slightly.
Oh, we're going to disagree on this one.
But, I mean, look at the three women we've got going forward. Now, I've no idea where it's going to end up. You've got Survivor Series. Is it going to be Becky versus Charlotte? Is all this going to have to be put on hold? You've got Queen of the Ring. You've got Saudi shows. What's going to, how's that going to work, basically? But you've got Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Bianca Belair all circling for now before the draft around that SmackDown Women's Championship. It is white hot for me.
I'm the opposite. Hey! That's how it works. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't think with the way Bianca Belair has been booked since winning the title that this was a good idea. She's not been booked well, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
She has the feud with Bayley where they rob her of her confidence. They bring that into question. And that was always her biggest strength. Suddenly, she's no longer the greatest, the fastest, the most confident, whatever.
Yeah.
EST things you want to add. Most confident isn't one of them. But you get you get my point. So the Bayley feud misfired, regardless of in-ring quality and everything else. She moves into this feud with Becky where she loses in 26 seconds. And throughout the thing, she's outdone at every single level, including in her hometown. Every week, she's getting outdone. Bianca Belair on television. Beaten up, jumped, whatever, whatever. And you get to the pay-per-view where you want this heel comeuppance, where you want this Conor McGregor-esque character to finally get punched in the mouth and end in the victory and everything else. And that's the logical way to end this story. And hey, it kind of sucks that we have to have Becky lose her first big match back, but it's the right thing to do. And then it's a DQ, and it's the most cynical thing in the world. And now we have a triple threat. And triple threats are never as good as singles matches, in my opinion. People out there might disagree. I don't like anything about this. But the match was good. Like, the match was good up until the finish. But does that really mean much when the finish kind of...
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a divisive one, understandably so. And again, like, you know, I'm just going to give you my true opinion. If you disagree, that's fine. We disagreed right here. We're not fighting. We're not brawling. Twitter will be, because that's how that works. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments.
It's a decision. I do agree with you. Like, I don't like having to put the caveat of, like, it was a great match until the DQ. Same. Because all I'm going to remember is the DQ. It's enough to make you want to strangle Vince McMahon, isn't it, Andy Murray?
Just like Seth the Chef Rollins did in December. Was it? No, it was October 2019, wasn't it? Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
It was late 2019. What match made Seth Rollins want to strangle Vince McMahon? Well, of course, it was the match with The Fiend inside Hell in a Cell. The match that I don't think anyone in the universe liked. No. Not Seth Rollins fans, not Fiend fans, not WWE fans. Bad, not good. All kinds of no-selling, comedic hammers, a DQ referee stoppage in a Hell in a Cell. It's an all-time not good match. And Seth Rollins was on Broken Skull Sessions, which I will be discussing in greater detail later on, by the way. We'll have things we learned. That'll be out later today. Look out for that. One of the things he talked about was this match. And he went into detail on it. He said his vision, his embrace vision for the match was much different to what had happened. But they performed it to the best of their ability. In the end, however, the boos piled up. The audience didn't get what they want. And that was a tough pill to swallow and a sucky feeling, in his own words. But he went on a bit, and I'm going to read you a quote here from this. I put a positive spin on it now. He talked about how, like, it informed his character change and his heel turn and everything else, which is a fair point. Mm-hmm. I put a positive spin on it now because I can look back a year and a half later. But at the time, I came through that curtain and I was ready to strangle Vince McMahon. Boy, I'm not kidding you. TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd, was there to hold me back. I stared right into Vince's eyes. I looked at him. He looked at me. We didn't say a single word to each other, and he walked out. He had a talk with Paul Heyman afterwards, which led to him, in his own words, getting Paul Heyman'd. And then he spoke to Vince the next day. He was much calmer, much more civil, and just wanted to ensure that it never happened again. But to kind of sum this all up, Seth Rollins said, "In my head, if you go back to the match, I'm convinced that if it would have went our way, it wouldn't have been voted the worst match of the year by the Wrestling Observer," which is something they touched on in the interview. So it's a good interview. Seth's really, he's really honest. And Seth's a guy you look at and you go, he's a company guy, he's going to toe the line, all this stuff. But he opens up here. It's a good interview, and I'll share my deeper thoughts on it later on. But it's an interesting thing to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Strangling Vince.
I mean, who can blame him? Like you say, I mean, even at the time, we were sat there going, what did they think was going to happen when they booked this? You talk about, you know, the Fiend there, and you talk about the Demon here. Like, I remember when they booked it, and I was like, it's really quick to book the Fiend into a title match, so he can't lose. And then they were like, well, we don't want to give him the title yet. We want to save that and for some reason do that in Saudi Arabia. And I still don't know whether that was the long-term plan or they just went, oh, look at that reaction. We have to put the title on him now. Like, if you wanted to put the Fiend in Hell in a Cell and go, ooh, a spooky Fiend in Hell in a Cell, have him against literally anyone. Yeah. Just beat Finn Balor. Have him face, I don't know, just pick a mid-card guy who's not doing out and go, there you go, kill him and
eat
him. Hell in a Cell.
Eat him alive.
Ridiculous. Completely understandable. And I'm fascinated to see what you think about this at Broken Skull Sessions, because I think it's really good. I've seen some clips already doing the rounds about how Brock Lesnar, the big takeaway here, number one entry should be Brock Lesnar's an absolute top boy, basically. That's what I've seen. Lots of beers and lots of Coors Light mentions from Seth Rollins in this. But yeah,
who drink a real beer?
Not the first and probably not the last time someone's walked right through the curtain and gone, I'm going to kill that old bastard. Right, let's move on and talk about Monday Night. It goes down tonight with a WWE Championship match. Bobby Lashley getting his rematch for the belt he lost when Big E cashed in on him tonight. Basically what happened, Extreme Rules on the kickoff show, which for some reason featured Liv Morgan versus Carmella. They just got punted off to that. Sorry, girls. But they showed the New Day arriving in the midst of an AJ Styles and Omos interview. Then Bobby Lashley piled in, big gold brawl, and Postman Pierce waved his, oh, stop it, everyone. And then they booked a trios match, sorry, Michael Sidgwick, for the actual show. In the end, it was Big E pinning Bobby Lashley in that match, but that was due to some miscommunication. They just couldn't get along between him and AJ Styles. Later on in the night, we saw a promo from Bobby Lashley. He was effing a Jeff, and he said the S word, Andy Murray, to say you're a piece of, basically,
I think AEW has a trademark on that word these
days. Yes, oh, goodness me. He said, you're a piece of shush, you Big E. I want my rematch. I want my title back, blah, blah, blah. You're a coward for cashing in on me when I just fought Randy Orton and hurt my leg. And then Big E later on responded and said, oh, shut your mouth up, basically. You can have the match. It's booked for tonight. WWE Championship on the line. Big E versus Bobby Lashley. I hope they don't start with this and then do some bollocks and do something at the end of the show. I'd spend the whole of this show building up to like a 25-minute war between these two because the brief interactions between them at Extreme Rules were great.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be a very good match. I think, like, there are issues with the booking. People are going to get on to me for this, but there are issues with the booking when the guy who gets pinned on the pay-per-view has a title shot the next night. That's it's not good pro wrestling booking. But the match will be really good, absolutely. I totally agree with you. Raw recently, WWE in general, have done a good job of booking things that people are going to want to see. This week we saw it with the trios match unfolding into the triple threat main event. That was smart. That helped their ratings. That was a good idea. Putting this on TV will certainly help them against Monday Night Football again. So yeah, it is what it is. You take the good with the bad. You keep it at arm's length and you go, hey, maybe I'll get a good match of this out of this at the very least.
One thing they've got to do is have a result tonight, though, because they cannot roll this over to Saudi Arabia. Well, actually, they probably won't.
They could. They very Bobby well
Lashley,
could.
But they got Bobby Lashley and Goldberg. Men slept me. Yeah. So there's that. I don't know what you do with Big E and the world title. You one would assume. Bloody hope he retains tonight. But
Gage Goldberg. Yeah. There you go.
Give me an actual result, and I think they will do that tonight. I hope they will do, and I expect to be in here tomorrow. Apologising for getting something completely wrong. Anyway,
never wrong.
Yeah, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. Shaq gives us our first question of the day. He says, with the announcement of WWE doing a UK pay-per-view, that was an exclusive. Me and Phil reported on that just before our Extreme Rules pay-per-view live stream. You can go back and check that out right now. They are supposedly coming to a 90,000 seat stadium
Pittodrie in Aberdeen. There we go.
Potentially in September 2022, 30 years since, you know, SummerSlam, of course, at Wembley, all that sort of thing. Anyway, Shaq says, with the announcement of WWE doing a UK pay-per-view, do you think they could think outside the box and use a cricket stadium, the Oval or Lords, to host it? The crowd would mostly be ground level. I think it would be very cool.
It would look unique, wouldn't it? A cricket stadium. But I think, like, sight lines might be an issue if you do something like that, right? If you're all the way at the back in this flat section, you're going to have trouble seeing anything. You're going to have loads of seas of people in front of you and everything else. I think the beauty of, like, a basketball stadium in the US is that the floor is relatively small and everyone's tiered up. Even a bigger stadium, a football or whatever, the majority of people are still going to be in the stands. So I agree that the aesthetics would be awesome. It would look unique. But it might not be a great fan experience if you're on the floor.
No, I would be bowled over if they did it at cricket.
Shut up, man.
I'm perfectly honest. I think it's going to be Wembley because it's Wembley and it's SummerSlam and it's 30 years on, although it's not the same Wembley, obviously. But, you know, the suggestions, it could be places like Old Trafford. You are spoilt for choice in terms of football grounds that have huge capacities here in England. I'm just so bloody happy we might actually get some pay-per-views over here after they tempted us and said, oh, yeah. If there wasn't a pandemic, Firefest would have been here last year. Yeah. Don't tell me that. Anyway, the second question comes from Mike Gamel. Gamel? Mike says, hi guys, Jeff Hardy has been a face for 95% of his time in WWE. What do you think about him changing up and having heel Hardy versus Damian Priest? Jeff already says he admires Priest. Could that admiration turn into jealousy?
Whoa, could it indeed? I don't think we'll see that. I think we'll see Jeff continue as a babyface, right? I think he still has certain connection with the crowd. At this level in his career, when he's in his 40s and he's not quite what he used to be, it's kind of nice to just have him as a sort of nostalgia guy, I think. And that's not to discredit what he can still do in the ring. He's still very good. But I don't think they'll turn him heel. They've just given him his theme back as well to pop the crowd a little bit more as well. So I don't see them going in that direction, but I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world.
It could well be a respectful title fight that you have, although I sense they may even continue with this Sheamus thing, because although he got pinned, he just broad kicked Jeff Hardy and he'd fallen out of the ring and he'd gone after him, and then Damian Priest rolled him up. But he's probably someone, Damian Priest as US champion, who is going to benefit from the draft in a few weeks and then just bringing in some new faces, some new mid-carders for him to fight against. Brian Carson, congratulations, Brian Carson. He won the boss battle. He won all those tops. Fantastic Slam Attacks trading cards from us as a result of that. But Brian gets involved on the news questions as well, saying, with what happened to both Finn and Bliss, could we be in store for some sort of odd pairing between the two as a result of the draft? Finn is her new friend.
Okay. What if Finn is the new Lily? Could he dress up? Could he dress up as the doll costume after the other one got torn apart and beaten at the best? Of Alexa.
That did look well funny when it had no stuffing in it.
It was kind of funny when she was like crying in the ring.
Why did she have an Alka-Seltzer in her mouth? That's what I want to know.
Maybe she's just got really bad indigestion.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's tough out here with all that black goo in your guts, you know. Probably leads to a severe Gaviscon need. Finn in a doll costume might be fun. He's a very handsome guy. He could probably pull it off.
Bastard. How many times has he got to reinvent himself and make himself mint in NXT? So they go, oh, cool, you can come up and smile for a bit and then we'll bury your other character.
Job yeah, to put him back. Like, he was really good in NXT. Yeah, really good. It's a shame.
Yes, right, let's move on to today's. And finally, I just saw this doing the rounds last night and I was astonished to see it. Shout out to Tom, at not that Tom Green, who shared the fact that Jeff Jarrett, he used to have his kids babysat by one Taylor Swift during early TNA booking meetings. She had a friend in the family and we became family friends. She's in the community. When mine came out, she came over to the house and Jeremy Borash, we were having a creative meeting downstairs. Taylor would come over and get the girls and take them back to her house and they'd bake cookies and all that kind of stuff. One day, Taylor brought over Joe Jonas.
What the hell?
What is going on? Taylor Swift was a babysitter for Jeff Jarrett's kids.
And Joe Jonas came over for cookies.
What
the hell? Is Jeff Jarrett the most interesting man who's ever lived? I think he's up there.
He's certainly up there. One of the best podcasts out there that isn't ours, of course. But
love to have him on sometime.
Yeah, how has this not come out before now? Yeah. That's all I know.
Can we get Jeff on for a podcast where he just tells us weird stories about celebrities?
Absolutely. We could give him some exposure, you know, really help that podcast rise up to number one. Well, number two.
Yeah. One time he had Curly Watts over for lunch. So.
Beautiful. we've been warned. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Sidgwick looking back on the results of Extreme Rules and looking ahead to Monday Night Raw a little bit later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at...
Follow me at Andy H. Murray. Today's H stands for Hylotomus, which is another word for woodcutting. And I've picked this word because it's a really overcomplicated word for a simple, stupid thing. And that sums up last night's pro wrestling booking quite well.
Fantastic work. You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.